You're with us on the morning show as we start our candidate conversations leading up to the August 11th primary. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic candidate Josh Pade seeks to challenge first-term U.S. Representative Brian Steil, a Republican in the 1st Congressional District. Pade will face Democrat Roger Pollack in the August primary. The winner will take on Steil in the November 3rd election. Do you live in Janesville, Kenosha, Racine, another community in the 1st Congressional District? What issues matter to you? What do you think Congress should be doing? What questions do you have for candidate Josh Pade? We're at 800-642-1234. Josh Pade is a native of Kenosha and a business person. He ran for governor in 2018 but lost in the Democratic primary. Josh, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We'll start out by laying out your case for us. Why do you feel you're the best Democratic candidate to face Republican Representative Brian Steil?
Thank you. We are facing tremendous challenges right now, both for our district and our country, challenges to our democracy, challenges to our economy, and challenges to our healthcare. I have spent my life focused on helping folks, helping people succeed. I overcame a lot of challenges growing up in Kenosha. I lost both my parents growing up, and it required a lot of work, a lot of innovation. I ended up becoming a businessman. I worked for a local family grocery company to help support my family after my father died, and learned about servant leadership, learned about community, understood what it takes to both be successful and help families. And I did that. I was proud to see, I have two younger siblings, and I saw my mom before she passed away. She graduated from college. She was a stay-at-home mom. So seeing what opportunity and empowerment can do laid a foundation for me for public service. And I made a promise to my mom before she died that if I could, you know, go to law school, if I could work my way through, that I would help families like ours. And that has laid a foundation that I have put towards effective policies to help people and advocate for. And I did that. I worked my way through law school. I graduated in the financial crisis and really focused on policies. And
what are those specific effective policies that you talk about?
Gosh, well, the first one is just the way Washington works. So much of our, whether it's the bureaucracy or it's the revolving door of lobbyists and government that ensure that all the policies that we have, the money we spend, goes to those who pay for it, that have bought those politicians. And, you know, 16 years ago, I was an intern for Senator Feingold, who wrote the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform bill, because we need politicians that don't have strings attached, that aren't going and without the credibility to help that. Now, specifically, we need to start investing and ensuring that everyone can get not just a quality education, K through 12, but anytime, whether it's higher education, job retraining. Right now, we're seeing in this COVID pandemic that our unemployment insurance system is not effective at giving people a new start, both on the policy side as well as on the administrative side. These are examples of ways in which our government has just become outdated to today's economy. And we need to be targeted on how we give people the tools and the power to get ahead and to fulfill all of their best potential. And that's why I'm in politics. That's why I'm the best alternative to a Republican Party that has been owned by corporate interests, that has been
circling away from people. Circling back to campaign finance, how will your campaign fund itself, and what will your approach be to outside groups that want to fund your campaign?
So we have been running a grassroots campaign. I have taken pledges, not only just nor corporate PAC money, but we're not taking money from corporate lobbyists as well. We have been following a lot of the guidelines from the End Citizens United organization to be a campaign that is fully funded by regular people.
We're talking with Josh Pade, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. You can join in. How do you think Congress should tackle big issues like the coronavirus, unemployment, policing, climate change, campaign finance, education? Join in at 800-642-1234. Why should voters, in your opinion, not reelect Representative Brian Steil?
For me, it's not about, we've become too polarized as a country. Of you've got two parties. You fall into your camp, you say your talking points, and you go to Washington and check the box. And Congressman Steil, he's gone to Washington. He's given himself over to President Trump, votes with him. Depending on the year, it's around 95% of the time, give or take a few percentages. And I want to go to Congress to be a true independent voice for this district, to go and say, what are the things that we need to do to make the first congressional district as best as it can be, whether that's on economy, whether that's ensure that everyone has health care, or that's taking things like big challenges like climate change and using it a way to bring innovation and jobs here and home to our district. In this moment, Congressman Steil just hasn't provided the kind of leadership and independent voice that this district needs and wants. And that's what I've been hearing from people from all over the political spectrum, both from, independents, future former Republicans, as I think Mayor Pete, you said on the campaign trail, and Democrats that just want someone that's going to know that it's every day they're going to fight for things like healthcare.
Okay, so you mentioned education and climate change, huge issues. If you would be elected to Congress, what are three things that you want to accomplish?
So the first thing is healthcare, both related to the COVID crisis and then generally speaking. We have a situation now where every day there's a pending lawsuit until the Supreme Court rules about pre-existing conditions. And Republicans have yet to provide a alternative that actually protects people with pre-existing conditions and doesn't expose them to massive increases in premiums. I want to ensure that every American has healthcare guaranteed as a right, that we do it in a way that preserves our healthcare innovation, our healthcare advances, so we can keep things like private insurance. We can have great hospitals, but also have that guarantee. It doesn't have to be an either or choice. And that's something I want to do as Congress as a priority. The second one is, the education and opportunity piece. I would hope that if I get elected to Congress, that I'd have the opportunity to serve on the Education and Labor Committee and really focus on giving people all the tools. We know and a lot of the things that we're talking about in funding of our communities, that for every dollar we invest early on in a person's life, as a society, we save, depends on the study, between $7 and $12. That's in that individual's personal life and our overall economy, as well as government savings, because those people they reinvest into their society, into their communities. And putting together and refocusing our priorities on people again is why I'm in this. And the third thing, and it's something that I have been a part of, is really bringing innovation to our policy and bringing new ideas that think outside the box. 2 years ago, I was talking about how do we empower people to start a small business that don't come from the circles of privilege that have the friends, family, and fools that can start a business, and give people from underserved communities the access to capital and opportunity to start a business. Bringing those innovations. And what I often say is that we should have a government that works, not from Washington, where you get an idea from a lobbyist or a corporately funded think tank or any sort of inside the bubble beltway idea, but take ideas from the people and then work policy to match what those needs are.
We're having candidate conversations leading up to the 2020 elections. Today, it's with Democratic candidate Josh Pade, who is running for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. The district covers Kenosha, Racine, Walworth counties, parts of three neighboring counties, including the city of Janesville. How do you think Congress should tackle big issues like healthcare, like education, like small business growth and development? How do you feel about what Congress is doing now? What proposals are you following in the House or the Senate? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with candidate Josh Pade here on the Ideas Network. It's Candidate Conversations here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Josh Pade, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. He aims to challenge Republican U.S. Representative Brian Steil, and he first takes on Roger Pollack in the August primary election. Who has your vote for the Democratic primary in the 1st Congressional District? Are you voting for Josh Paid or Roger Pollack? What are you thinking? What issues matter most to you in congressional elections? Join in at 800-642-1234. And candidate Josh Paid stays with us for 10 more minutes. So posing this question to you, if you were a member of Congress this week, as we watch the negotiations around new relief on coronavirus-related legislation, what kind of economic package would you get behind, would you support?
That is a huge question. And we're facing, I've been kind of sounding the alarm, a crucial deadline on the expiration of unemployment insurance, the pandemic unemployment assistance. And just the way our unemployment system works, if we get to the end of the month, a lot of folks are going to miss their August payments. And we have a situation where millions of people missed their July rent already, and now they're headed into August. Their businesses are either not open yet or they partially reopened, and because of the surge in coronavirus, they're not able to open. So I think the first and most important thing is that we need to understand that we need to extend this benefit until we get COVID under control. And it should be automatically triggered based on how we're handling the opening of our economy, rather than having the uncertainty. Uncertainty hurts families, it hurts businesses, and it needs to be automatically triggered based on clear benchmarks. The second thing is making sure that our businesses can be in a position where they can adjust to the virus as well and be able to get through it. I talked to a small business owner who, you know, they just started to reopen. Now they're worried about having to close again. And they have put everything they have into trying to stay open, trying to ensure that they don't have to lay people off. And now they don't know. They don't know how long they can last. And we need a big package on that. The third thing that we need to do is ensure that all of our schools have the resources needed so that they have the guidelines on how to reopen, that they can put into place everything that they need to make sure that students are protected. And that goes into having a national mobilized effort to solve the pandemic. Any economic package is never going to be enough until we get the pandemic under control. That means there should be a clear national mandate on testing, on contact tracing, guidelines on mask wearing and socially distancing, and just real leadership, setting it by example. I'm glad to see it. The president's press conference yesterday is now talking about wearing masks. It's time. We have to do it. If we do that, within a month or so, we can have this pandemic much more under control. And if we have larger testing, we can know where the pandemic has spread and get those hot spots under control. So we're never going to have a true economic recovery until we have control of the pandemic. In my former business career, I worked in operational risk and crisis management. So I've actually worked on pandemics. And having a clear guideline and clear flow of information on how you manage these crises is the key to get what we call in the business world business resumption, getting back to where the economy is working again without having to be sustained, because we're doing this by debt. And we can only sustain that for so long. We can't just keep our economy on ice indefinitely. So we need to put in place and ensure that families are protected, businesses are protected, and most importantly, get this pandemic under control.
We're talking with Josh Paid, a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. You can join in. What questions do you have for the candidate? What do you want to know about his qualifications, his positions on issues? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Rose now, joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Rose.
Hi. Josh, I'm curious about what your plans are for equality and women's rights.
And if you could hear that, Rose wanting to know where you stand on equality and women's rights.
Thank you for the question, Rose. It is something that really needs to be addressed. One thing that we've seen from this pandemic is it has exacerbated pre-existing inequality between not just class, but also gender. The pay gap among women is the fact that we haven't closed it is a disgrace, and we need to work on it. As a member of Congress, I am going to fight to ensure that as we recover from this economic downturn, we do it in a way that gives prosperity to everyone and gives equal opportunity. People in the workforce should have equal pay for equal work, and we need to fight for that and ensure that that is protected by federal law. The second thing is that we need to have systems in place that promote that. So I'm a firm advocate for paid family leave, for sick leave, so that folks, particularly whether it's a pandemic or just everyday life, are able to adjust and continue their career and also maintain their home life.
Well, let's look at inequality. Demonstrations across the country are calling for police reform after the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, other people of color. What should Congress do?
Congress needs to pass a police reform bill. We had the George Floyd bill pass the House. I'm glad it passed. Mitch McConnell needs to, I think, as Gwen Moore said in her previous segment, he has a graveyard for legislation. He needs to get it out of the graveyard and get it passed. And we need to continue to fight to ensure that we have effective community policing, that we have the reforms in place to end police violence, to demilitarize the police, and support both our communities and our law enforcement, giving them the training they need to de-escalate situations, and making sure that we're investing resources in people, in social services, in things that reduce the need for, you know, anti-criminal activity, because we're investing in our communities first.
When do you think federal authorities should intervene in local protests as we're seeing around the country?
Gosh, I'm scared for our country. Seeing what's happening in Portland, seeing the threat of these unmarked federal agents coming in and essentially kidnapping people, putting them in unmarked cars and taking them away without telling folks where they're taking them. That's not America. That's not the Democratic Republic that we cherish and we need to protect. And that needs to end. Congress needs to make certain that the Department of Homeland Security doesn't have the ability to have this secret police force to work for the president. People have the right to protest. They have the right to peacefully protest. That should be supported. That should be celebrated. They're standing up and saying, enough is enough. We want our communities to be safe. We want our children not to have to worry about getting shot. And we want racial equality. And we're all standing up together, shoulder to shoulder, people from all walks of life, all races, and standing up and building this consensus for the first time in a way that I have never seen in my lifetime. I'm 40. And the administration is trying to undermine that, trying to disparage that, and using underhanded and anti-democratic actions to do it. So I could not be more opposed to that. That is not the America I grew up with.
You mentioned climate change earlier. What steps do you want Congress to take to address climate change?
There's so much we can do, and we have been ceding innovation to China on green energy, and that we need to stop. The two fastest growing jobs in America are in green energy, and we can bring that innovation here to Wisconsin. So Vice President Biden just released a plan on climate change that has some really good ideas about removing or refocusing our efforts on building era of clean air, clean water, solving the problem of carbon emissions, and investing in new areas of energy. So that means moving to carbon-free electricity, investing in new high-paying jobs from folks that worked in the carbon-based economy, and making sure that we can transition to newer forms of vehicles and having the infrastructure for charging and charging stations for those vehicles. And that even goes further. There's so many innovations that we don't know about, particularly in manufacturing, which is a large chunk of the carbon emissions, where we can invest in new forms of manufacturing, advanced and specialized manufacturing that would bring manufacturing home to America and do it in a way that is better for the environment. And I think the third piece is really using ag tech, agriculture technology, and advancements in sustainable agriculture to ensure that our farmers are not only growing produce and feeding the world in a sustainable way, but also getting more money and finding new sources of revenue by engaging in better new agriculture technology. There's just so much. And
very quickly,
focus.
Yeah, very quickly, you mentioned manufacturing. Do you support the USMCA, the US-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that President Trump pursued to replace NAFTA?
Yes, I do support it. It was is a good step forward. I'm glad that the House Democrats were able to add better labor protections into that bill. And I think it was a step, but there's a lot of work to do. I'm really concerned about Trump's trade war with China. You know, we barely got a phase one, which really didn't accomplish a whole lot, just a de-escalation of a war that President Trump has started. And we need to be standing up and protecting our folks at home, particularly our agriculture economy that has been here in Wisconsin, has been impacted by this trade war with China. I've talked to farmers that have literally lost millions of dollars in revenue because of the trade war with China. So we need to focus on going forward.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Josh Pade is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. The district covers Kenosha, Racine, Walworth counties, parts of three neighboring counties, including City of Janesville. Coming up, we explore the bonds between students and teachers and how they help shape early childhood education. We look at the value of these relationships, getting more attention as schools debate whether to hold in-person classes this fall. We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. We'll be back after this news update on the Ideas Network.